Grant ducked back, crouching among the palm trees. Through the mist ahead, he could see the raptors hopping and snarling and butting their heads against the glass of the visitor center. But between snarls, they would fall silent and cock their heads as if listening to something distant. And then they would make little whimpering sounds. "What are they doing?" Gennaro said.
"Looks like they're trying to get into the cafeteria," Grant said.
"What's in the cafeteria?"
"I left the kids there," Grant said.
"Can they break through that glass?"
"I don't think so, no."
Grant watched, and now he heard the crackle of a distant radio. And the raptors began hopping in a more agitated way. One after another, they began jumping higher and higher, until finally he saw the first of them leap lightly onto the second floor balcony, and from there move inside the second floor of the visitor center. In the control room on the second floor, Tim snatched up the radio which Lex had dropped. He pressed the button.
"Hello? Hello?
Is that you, Tim?"
It was Muldoon's voice.
"It's me, yes."
"Where are you?"
"In the control room. The power is on."
"That's great, Tim," Muldoon said.
"If someone will tell me how to turn the computer on, I'll do it."
There was a silence.
"Hello?" Tim said. "Did you hear me?"
We have a problem about that," Muldoon said. "Nobody who is here knows how to do that, how to turn the computer on."
Tim said,
"What, are you kidding? Nobody knows?"
It seemed incredible.
"No."
A pause.
"I think it's something about the main grid, turning on the main grid. You know anything about computers, Tim?"
Tim stared at the screen. Lex nudged him.
"Tell him no, Timmy," she said.
"Yes, some. I know something," Tim said.
"Might as well try," Muldoon said. "Nobody here knows what to do, and Grant doesn't know about computers."
"Okay," Tim said, "I'll try."
He clicked off the radio and stared at the screen, studying it.
"Timmy," Lex said, "you don't know what to do."
"Yes, I do."
"If you know, then do it,"
Lex said.
"Just a minute."
As a way to get started, he pulled the chair close to the keyboard and pressed the cursor keys. Those were the keys that moved the cursor around on the screen. But nothing happened. Then he pushed other keys. The screen remained unchanged.
"Well," she said.
"Something's wrong," Tim said, frowning.
"You just don't know, Timmy," she said.
He examined the computer again, looking at it carefully. The keyboard had a row of function keys at the top, just like a regular PC keyboard, and the monitor was big and in color, but the monitor housing was sort of unusual. Tim looked at the edges of the screen and saw lots of faint pinpoints of red light. Red light all around the borders of the screen. What could that be? He moved his finger toward the light and saw the soft red glow on his skin. He touched the screen where it said Access TNL and heard a beep. A message box flashed up saying, "You already have access. Make your selection from the main screen." A moment later, the message box disappeared and the original screen flashed back up.
"What happened?" Lex said. "What did you do? You touched something."
Of course, he thought. He had touched the screen. It was a touch screen. The red lights around the edges must be infrared sensors. Tim had never seen such a screen, but he'd read about them in magazines. He touched Reset Revert. Instantly, the screen changed. He got a new message. "The computer is now reset. Make your selection from the main screen."